Hey, and welcome back to the A24 podcast. You probably know Sadie Sink and Finn Wolfhard from Netflix's Stranger Things, but lucky for all of us, they're also the stars of two new A24 movies, The Whale and When You Finish Saving the World. For today's episode, we brought Sadie and Finn together to talk about growing up on screen, playing angsty teenagers, and how they held their own acting opposite Brendan Fraser and Julianne Moore. We hope you enjoy the conversation, and make sure you catch The Whale, opening nationwide this holiday weekend.
Hi, I'm Finn Wolfhard.
Hi, I'm Sadie Sink.
We're on the A24 podcast.
Because
we both have
A24 films. Look at us.
Yeah, look at us.
What is your film?
I did a movie called When You Finish Saving the World, which Jesse Eisenberg wrote and directed.
Mm-hmm.
What's yours?
My film is called The Whale, which Darren Aronofsky directed.
Yes.
When did you film it?
I filmed it in like 2021. It was a really weird process because it was right when COVID was happening. Like, because when we were shooting Stranger Things 4, they were trying to figure out if I had time to do it. This is like back even in like 2020-ish. And it got to the point where like my schedule was so crazy that like they were starting to cast other people. Like not cast other people, but like audition other people because they needed to do that. And then eventually like COVID happened, a year went by, and for whatever reason like the schedule opened up and like you guys were shooting in Atlanta first, and then they like blocked off so that we shot in New Mexico last.
Yeah.
So they were like, oh, you have all this time. So I ended up being perfect.
Good.
Not to blame the global pandemic on this movie that
but
I did.
The timing
was
couldn't
amazing.
Have been better.
Wait, you filmed yours in the winter?
Yeah, 2021 February, and I had a similar experience. It was like, I was actually filming in Atlanta, and then this came along, and Darren casted me, but he wanted me to have like, he wanted first position on The Whale. So essentially they needed Netflix to like release me for 3 months. And I thought that wasn't going to happen.
Was it a whole 3 month shoot?
Yeah. Or I guess there was like buffer time because of COVID.
That's amazing.
But 3 months I had to be free. And thanks to Matt and Ross. I think Darren called Matt and Ross.
And they were like, we got to do it. Yeah.
Sure.
They're all those film nerds. Mm-hmm. They have to say yes.
Yeah. But the Duffers have always been so good because they know how much time the show takes. And they still want us to like build careers outside of it.
Yes. No, every time I've ever had a conversation with them, they've been like over the moon supportive about everything that I've wanted to do outside the show. Like I've been pretty lucky. You were telling me because we saw each other at TIFF.
Yeah.
And it was like one of those moments where we hadn't seen each other in a long time. And so we hung out after the party and it was just like, it was like a group of us and like kind of like a bunch of also younger actors and or just kids, you know, just our people our age. And I was like, by the way, like we can leave if you want, like if because it's like the night of like the premiere or whatever, like you have your whole table for like your team or whatever. And you're like, no, please stay. Like,
no,
I haven't seen kids my age in like months.
It had been a while, but that's something that's been so different about doing The Whale press than Stranger Things press, because we always have each other when we're promoting
like
a new
off of
yeah
or whatever.
Exactly
and they, like yeah
and with this it's been like still very fun but like I'm always like the youngest, or me and Ty are like always the youngest people in a room, so it was very nice that night to have a familiar face and some young energy.
It was
around.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a really nice night. I remember you told me that night with Ty, you guys were like, yeah, it was like freezing.
Yeah.
Like, because it was like the dead of winter in upstate New York, right?
Yeah, it was rough. And we were staying in this
like manor or something?
Yeah, it was me, Brendan, and Ty, and we all were staying in this Victorian house that had been converted into apartments. My like heat frequently would go off. Yes. So the poor thing, we were like layering up and like putting like sweaters and coats on and going to bed in that. But I don't know why we filmed in Newburgh, and like the actual apartment, the soundstage was in a motorcycle museum.
Yeah, that sounds
very bizarre.
Yeah, super, super Darren Aronofsky.
Yeah, I think he like wanted to make us like slightly miserable.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Ty, I remember Ty was just like, it was after the movie and his tie was down and he was just like, had a drink, you know, whatever in his hand. And I just was talking to him. I was like, hey, man. So like, how was it filming the movie? He just was like, man, it was tough. I was like, why? I was like, because my heat broke and all I did was play video games when I got home. Because basically the work was so fun, but like the actual like location we were in was like
miserable. It sucked. Yeah. I had a wasp problem at one point.
You know, in the dead of winter, you had a wasp
problem? Well, no, because we started in the dead of winter and then we ended at the beginning of spring.
Yeah, that's good.
And then once spring hit, yeah, wasps were just everywhere. So it was like my side hustle. I just get home from work, but like the day wasn't over yet. Like I had a catch and release mission.
You had to jar them up.
Yep.
You had to put out the sugar water.
Open the window, all of it.
That's cool that it was 3 months, because in my head it's like that just shows that like Darren is like such a, I don't know, his directing, he wants to make sure he has like truly enough time,
because
like I guess when you're making, from what I've seen or like just learned over the course of just like acting for the last few years, it's just like time is so awesome. Like for filmmakers, time's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then as actors, we're always like, why is this taking so long? But in reality, it's like actually helping in the end. Every time for Stranger Things, when we're on like month eight, I'm like, what's going on?
That's
month eight is
really
like, what is this? What
are we doing? We're still here.
What happened in month six?
I don't know. It's just like
that
month,
got us to eight.
Month eight, and you're putting on the same jeans.
Yeah,
every single day.
My like legs have gotten bigger because. I've like grown, and so now like my jean shorts are like, I'm like popping out of my jean shorts.
But that was
like, my butt is like popping out of, I have like,
that was
those,
like a season three problem.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we were in that mall in Gwinnett. I met someone the other day who was like, I'm from Gwinnett. I was like, what? He was like, I'm from across the street from that mall. I used to get, that's like one of my childhood mall.
Wow.
And I was like,
we're Starcourt Mall.
Yeah, sorry, this is first from Stranger Things, the mall in season three, but we like where we shot so much of the thing. And it became kind of like the bane of our existence, where like we would like drive in, you know, like an hour from the city. And then like, yeah, shoot in this like basically kind of abandoned mall where they found a dead body in. They found a dead, do you remember that?
That's right.
There's
in like
a
the
dead,
back, like
yeah,
work,
where the Dairy
yeah,
Queen
the, like,
was.
Staff room or something.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was like behind.
Not while we were filming.
No.
This was years before.
But there was a dead body that was found like three years before in like a subway, like the back of a subway, because someone was like missing. And so I think we got it for really cheap.
Yeah.
Netflix. No, I'm just kidding.
I wonder if it's still there too. Like, did
what,
they
the dead body?
No, the mall. Like,
oh,
did
yeah,
they
yeah,
ever...
No, it's still there. People can go.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, but that's all public information. Like, the dead body thing is pretty public. That's public information.
Right. Well,
you can
it's
look
gotta
it
be.
Up. You can look it up.
Okay.
If it's not, I don't know. Edit it out.
Well,
but
now you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that the character you play in The Whale is like, I love that she's not hiding how resentful she is. Because she doesn't care. She has like zero, she has nothing to lose whatsoever. So she just like comes in already so upset. Like
so upset and like, just so honest. I feel like that's the one thing that Charlie, Brendan Fraser's character, that's what he's looking
appreciates.
For. And that's what he appreciates most in a person. So he certainly finds that in Ellie.
Now, it's a pretty amazing push and pull relationship. Every time you can see your character starting to kind of fall for him and then immediately be like, wait, no. And you have to remind yourself, do you think it's like a learned thing from your character that like she can't admit or wants to have a relationship with him?
Oh, no, she doesn't want it. I think like she goes to that apartment. Her father hasn't spoken to her in 10 years.
Yeah.
And as far as she's concerned, has like never reached out or tried to or anything. And so I think she goes to the apartment and she's got a mission and she wants to completely destroy
his
him.
Life. Yeah.
Yeah.
But his life is already.
Right. I think like she has this like armor that I think has just kind of built up over the years of, I don't know, suppressing pain or something. And yeah, every time Charlie kind of breaks through to her, I just always pictured like, yeah, like the armor cracks a bit and then she's just got to like mend it back up. And she does that with like just really cruel actions and rage.
Yeah. I remember there's a scene, there's the scene near the end, which is like, so I don't want to spoil anything, but just like so beautiful.
And I saw a lot of similarities between like,
I know,
both
I know,
of our films.
I know, I know.
It's like, without spoiling, like the last shot of both of our films
are like, a parent and a
parent and a child,
child looking at each
connecting
other,
connecting for the first time in the entire movie.
Yes. I think like both of the movies weirdly like have this, like, yeah, this theme where it's like accepting each other, putting your own like self-centered kind of your own self-centered life or your own thinking of what someone else should be, mm-hmm. and just like accepting someone for exactly who they should be and who they have been the whole time.
Right. And it's so interesting because like in your film, the family in that, it's like very traditional and everything should be perfect and like normal or whatever.
Yeah, they have like a nice home. Yeah, they're completely fully like middle class. Like his parents are like both like academics. Mm-hmm. Like it shouldn't be as dysfunctional as it is.
Yeah. And then with mine, it's like kind of, it's very dysfunctional from the outside.
Yes, yes.
But I don't know, for both of our characters, it's just like this search for a human connection. And I feel like with yours, it's like he's looking for it in all the wrong places.
Yes, yes, yes. Like he's so desperate. Yeah. Well, that's the other thing is that like he's like very desperate. And like to me, it's like his like kind of narcissism. Mm-hmm. There's scenes where he's just talking about himself. But you realize like through the movie, like I think he's just like completely has had no guidance whatsoever. The only way he knows how to like talk is to talk about himself, because his mom has never given him anything, or his parents have never given him anything.
Right.
So it's like, who's gonna talk about me but me? In his head, he's like been doing this thing and working really hard and no one has seen it. I feel like he, through the movie, you realize like he just wants to be loved and it just cares about other people a lot, just in a different way from his mom. But yeah, trying to make that character, I think, like likable and multi, like,
I thought he was so likable.
Okay, thanks.
So likable.
Like, because that's the thing is like when you have that character, like you could easily read into those scenes as being like, I don't know.
Angsty teen.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Angsty teen. Yeah, we're both angsty teens in this movie.
And I feel like it's considered to be kind of like overdone or tired. So, but I think the reason you see it so much in film is because it's such a...
Because it happens.
It's real.
I'll give it to you this way. I showed the movie to my mom. My mom was like, oh, it's you. I was like, oh, God. Definitely in a way. Like, I think the way that I, you know, for both of us, there's certain things in the character. I would say we're probably, hopefully, the better parts of our characters. And also some of the horrible parts as well. But not full-blown, I hope. But
I don't think so.
Yeah, no.
No.
I don't think so.
What was it like? Did you write some of the music or did you help?
I helped. They used a lot of my music that I wrote in person because it just like matched to Ziggy's stuff.
Oh my God, that's so nice.
Which I never knew if it was like a diss or not, because like Ziggy sometimes writes incredible songs and sometimes writes really bad ones. Mm-hmm. And so it's like this,
like,
really funny. I was like, so what is exactly? I think it's probably somewhere in the middle, but no. And then Emil Mosseri, who did like the Minari soundtrack, mm-hmm. and Last Black Man in San Francisco, like he's amazing. And so like Jesse wrote the lyrics. I wrote the melody for some of the songs and then would collaborate with Emil on like the end song. And the film in my like most, I don't know, as a young person, like, you know, we obviously, like, we've been acting since we were like, I don't know, when did you start acting? 9 or something?
Yeah, same. 8, 9.
Yeah.
We'll circle back.
Yeah, you'll circle back. I started at 9 and then like it just is crazy out of like my young career so far, like that movie has been like the most like collaborative experience where like I was given the keys in a way that like I hadn't before.
Mm-hmm.
Like especially like acting like with Julianne, like she I thought it was going to be a thing because I was intimidated, obviously, because she's one of the greatest actors ever. And I had to just do all my scenes with her. And she was like, the calm that I felt from her when I got on set, that was just like reassurance. Like I just got there. And when we started doing scenes together, I was like, oh, she totally trusts me to do what I want. Like it wasn't in any way controlling. It wasn't. She just was like, she thought I was doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And so she didn't do anything. Yeah, she thought it was kind of funny. And I was like, oh, this is... And I think also she thought it was funny on accident too. Like I would do things that like she, like probably how a mom thinks their son is ridiculous.
Right.
Like I think in the same way she found those things where it was like, she kind of just let me stammer, if that makes sense. Like she kind of let me, like gave me room to kind of do what mm-hmm. I wanted, which I was so surprised at because like she didn't have to at all. Like she could have literally been like, walk right there.
And
she could have asked me to join a cult. I would have done it. Like I would have done a lot. But Yeah, that was really surprising.
Yeah. And her so character cool. is so, like, oh my God, I was so frustrated with her.
Yeah.
For, like, most of the movie.
No, it's so inappropriate. She's so inappropriate.
I was, like, creeped out for certain parts, but, oh my God, she's so good in it. It's, like, such a different color
she's
on her.
She's so amazing, yeah. And she's so, she's amazing. She's such a great person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was, were you, like, nervous to?
Yes.
with the yes. music, because I would be, oh. I would be freaking out.
Yeah, the scene where I go on stage and sing that really, like, funny, the song, this
the
song that Jesse wrote. Yeah,
one
night
alone.
Yeah, that one is like the ridiculous song. That was a day I remember I was really nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like performing and it was like in front of extras and stuff. I just felt really weird. And then the whole time I was really nervous. The whole time I was like, because it was like I knew in my head that it was like the movie that in my head I was just like, this is the movie that thus far that I've like connected with the most, in this character that I've connected with the most. And for whatever reason, I just had like a lot of pressure on myself to make it the best. I don't know if you had that as well.
Well, yeah, that's interesting because it's like that character just like fits you like a glove, but like knowing it's like you're, oh, I'm so perfect for this role. It's like, it puts even more pressure on it to like be really good. And
yeah. I also just think I connected so heavily with Jesse and I didn't want to also disappoint him either. Cause mm-hmm. he's such a hero. And so every day I'd show up and be like, oh, I really hope I'm doing okay. Because I just care so much about this guy. I like when you were on set, was it, what was your kind of, were you pretty, did it take a while for you to kind of, because you look so at ease the whole movie. Like, you look so comfortable the whole movie. But I'm wondering because, like, you know, doing those kind of films where it kind of feels, you know, like a very important thing. Mm-hmm. Like, did it take a while? Like, was it nerve-wracking at first?
Oh, my God.
Or was it?
Yeah, I was a nervous wreck.
Yeah.
Especially because, I mean, I was such a huge, huge fan of Darren. So I had really no idea what to expect. And I never really knew if I was doing a good job or not. But we had 3 weeks of rehearsals leading into it. And I think during that time, like, I had to be completely off book, and which is not something that people typically ask you to do. But we had 3 weeks to just block everything out. And by the end of that rehearsal period, I just feel like I knew the character very well. And I was able to just like go into shooting really prepared. And I like, so that definitely helped. But no, I remember like my first interaction with like Brendan and Darren, we did this table read a year before we started filming, like right before COVID hit. And I hadn't read the script before. I think I like skimmed it on the way to this theater, but he just called me randomly, or like his team called, wanted me to do this reading for an untitled Darren Aronofsky project. So of course I would be there. And I showed up, and it was like this very like dark, weird theater in the East Village. And I just sat down and Brendan was there next to me and he had this big cowboy hat on, I remember.
Yes.
And we just did like a cold reading of The Whale. And then at the end, like Darren, like I just remember him like coming out of the audience and like he's like backlit and he just like comes out of the light and he just like shakes
scarf.
My hand. Yes, scarf there, of course.
Looking super, yeah, mm-hmm. looking just like very like...
super artistic.
Yeah, artistic.
Yeah, and then he just shook my hand and like that was it. And I was like, oh God, I'm never gonna see him again. Like that was...
Oh really?
Yeah.
You thought I wasn't...
Mm-hmm. But like...
Why? It just felt... Because the whole movie just felt... It just... Well,
it
I
just
guess,
felt too good to be true,
right,
I
right,
think.
Right, right, right.
Because it was like... It, everything about the script, I was just like, oh my God, it never felt that perfect before. And... Until, like, I hadn't felt
Oh, interesting.
This-
I, oh, that's why I felt... Okay, I thought you were saying that... No, I know... Okay, now I know... Yeah, I know what you mean.
But, like, I felt that with Stranger Things, like, once I first got the audition for that when I was really young, I was like, if I don't get this, the world is going to end.
Yeah,
that
it's
sort of feeling.
Well, also, and then once you do get it, it's awesome, and then you get there, and you're like, oh,
this isn't what I thought.
Yeah, yeah, and you're like, you have this weird imposter thing.
Oh, totally.
I remember I got with Jesse, like, I remember with the stuff... Yeah, in that little, I guess, it would, like that little cafe where everyone's doing their poems and stuff like that in the movie. Like, we were shooting those scenes, and I remember, like, coming to set, and I just, like, pulled Jesse aside, and I was like, hey, can I talk to you? He's like, yeah. I was like, hey, man, I'm feeling really anxious, and, like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Like, I just was like, I was like, because I was worried I wasn't going to do a good performance or whatever. And he was just like, have you met me? Have you seen interviews with me? What are you talking about? I'm the most anxious person on the entire planet. Basically, like, and he told me this story that was, like, so nice. He, Greg Mottola, do you know Greg Mottola? He's this director. He's done, he did Adventureland with Jesse and Superbad and The Day Trippers, which is his first movie. And he was saying that Jesse had a panic attack during a scene during Adventureland. Like, at that point, his anxiety had just, like, started, you know, what manifesting or whatever. And he got really anxious, and he, like, Greg Mottola, like, pulled him aside, and Jesse said a very similar thing that I said to him. And Greg was like, hey, man, like, what you do, like, I don't understand at all. Like, I don't, like, acting, like, I don't get, like, I don't, like, literally, I don't understand it. Like, I think it's incredible. Like, I think it's really incredible. And so you never need to apologize to me, because, like, I can't imagine what it's like to, like, do something like that and not be freaking out all the time. And that was, like, he said he totally calmed down because, like, someone just saw him and was like, I get it. Like, don't worry about it. And, like, and then for the rest of the shoot, he just felt so much closer with the director. And then he told that to me, and I just, like, totally calmed down. But I remember, like, yeah, there's a few times. There's, like, this big monologue that I have to say with my dad in the room where he asks me if I'm happy, and I have that whole thing. And that now plays in, like, a one take, but, like, he did a bunch of coverage of it, and I kept messing it up. And I was just like, oh, sorry, sorry. And he was like, dude, you know we can edit around this, right? It's fine. Like, there's the editing exists. And then in the end, he ended up using that one take that I did first, I think. And he, yeah, I don't know. He just was so, I don't know. It felt nice to have, like, another, it felt like he was, even though he wasn't acting in the movie, it felt like he kind of was. Because I think just, I don't know, he was just there with everyone. It felt very present. Was Darren running in? What kind of director is Darren?
Darren is, like,
hands-on, or?
I think, like, it depends. Yeah. A lot of the times he would just let me do whatever I wanted, but he was really good at just noticing every kind of little detail, every, like, facial expression I would make. And if he saw something that I did that was different, he would be like, oh, wait, what was that? Like, do that again. Like, do that and do more of that. And he always, I think he's very hands-on, and he notices everything, and really, he really understands actors. I think he was saying in a Q&A the other day that he took, like, a Meisner class or something a while ago, because he really wanted to, like, understand actors so that he knew how to direct them. And he said he'd take the class until he cried during a scene for the class. And so he did it one day, and he cried, and he was like, okay, I've got it. Done. But I think it really just shows, like, how much he just really knows what's going on inside our brains, I think. And he'll just, yeah, he sits right next to the camera with a monitor, right there.
He has the handheld.
Just right there, right next to you. And for me, I really love that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
That's great.
And he really, like, I feel like coming from, like, the child actor space, which you definitely, I don't know, maybe you feel this, but, like, for the longest time, I just thought, especially acting in film, like, I thought my job was just to kind of go and be, like, a little puppet and stand on my mark and know my lines, and, like, I'd come prepared and I know about the character and everything, but, like, I just had to know how to take direction, and that was acting. But it wasn't until, like, I feel like really this project with Darren, he was kind of, I really just shed all of those, like, child actor habits that I still had a little bit left over.
Totally.
But there's just, even on Stranger Things, like season two, I would watch you guys and how you guys interacted with each other, and you guys felt, like, so relaxed on set, improv and scenes, and just kind of be, like, really had this freedom that I think I didn't really understand, especially coming from, like, musical theater, where it's it's spot on every night.
And I understand that. Well, also, like, in a way, not in a way, I mean, we were, like, totally spoiled. Like, not in a way of, like, maybe some of us, like, at some point, were actually spoiled. Maybe me, like, everyone probably was, if you're a child actor. But I more mean, like, spoiled in the way of, like, that's not normal. Like, for child actors to, like, be like, hey, can I try this line? Like, that's insane.
Oh, someone that, like, Yeah, insane. Can I start on the floor this?
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
can I break something?
Yeah, that's, yeah. Can I, yeah, can I set fire to the set and then, yeah, be fine? No, it's not normal. In the same way, like, we did the show when we were really young and then it, like, did really well. And so in season two, yeah, like, Netflix kind of just let the Duffers do whatever they wanted. And for whatever reason, the Duffers, like, trusted us enough to, like, just do stuff. But, yeah, like, maybe that's also why I was such an anxious wreck, too, on Jesse's movie, because it wasn't, like, I had to be myself, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wasn't playing myself, but, you know, I think a lot of people will see similarities between me and the character.
I feel like this character, it's, like, more true to you than Mike, I think.
Yeah, yeah,
sure.
definitely. And I think, well, I think the character's also super curious, too. Like, he's very, I think he's just genuinely trying to find happiness, mm-hmm. I think. And by the end of the movie, he kind of sheds all of his arrogance. I think not all of it. I mean, some people just have it. But I think, like, he has a real arc. I love playing characters like that, where at first you don't want to root for them. And then by the end of it, you're like, oh, this person's actually a real human being and, like, has been through stuff. And at the end, it's almost like you, or I would say, like, in the halfway point, you realize, like, oh, like, he's this way because of her. What she's doing is actually, like, even though she is, like, doing incredible work running a shelter, she's also basically having an affair with, like, another kid.
Yeah.
Like, and
it's just,
and
so
it's really super, and it's also incredibly superficial as well at the same time. Like, even though she's doing this incredible work, she also is completely a hypocrite. And my character is kind of this person that makes her realize that at the end, and vice versa. You know, it's these two things. But, like, for me, I always saw the character as a victim of just completely not being paid attention to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why he just, like, has all this, like, oh, look at me, attention, blah blah blah. And then by the end of it, you realize he's just, like, a really sad guy.
I know, and you really see it, like, the one moment that just made me so sad, and it was also just like, I see what's going on here. Your character's, like, coming home from school or something, and, like, you're yelling at her. You're like, hey, mom. Like, you're shouting. She's like, I'm not going to shout. Like, I'll wait until you're
right
here.
Yeah. She doesn't, like, he's actually pretty loving.
Yeah.
The only reason why he's ever mean is because he just has this defense. It's like, and it's same thing with your character. Like, mm-hmm. your character, I mean, her defense is, like,
it's twisted.
Yeah.
It's
depraved. And it's like, you also, what's so interesting about that character is you don't know how much of it is learned. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know how much of it is, what do they call that? Like when a parent raises you, it's like nature versus nurture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't know how much. That's what I think is so interesting about that character is, like, and by the end of it, you're still, not by the end of it, you actually realize through the look in her eyes that she's broken.
Yeah.
And you know that the whole time.
And especially with, like, the scene with the mom, too. Then you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I
see where
she got
that. But I think, yeah, there's lots of similarities between our characters, but I think, like, Ellie has the potential to be a truly evil person.
Yes, that's what's amazing.
Yeah.
That's what's so cool about the movie, because you really, but you can't
you
tell up until that, up until the Facebook part.
Oh, the Facebook is, yeah, that's dark.
You don't really know until the Facebook part where it's like, oh, she has the capacity to truly
do some damage.
Yeah.
I know, and I didn't really realize that, because while I was playing her, and, like, even, like, the first time I read the script, like, I fully got her. I was like, oh, she's sad. She's hurt.
Yeah.
Charlie hurt her. But I think just, like, from her perspective, like, obviously I'm going to see it in that way. So I never really thought of her as unlikable. I thought of her as just, you know, really honest, and I felt like she was always justified.
Yeah. No, I feel the same way. Like,
but then I realized, like, oh, other people don't feel that way. Like, my brother saw it, and he's like, you're evil.
Yeah,
I hate your character. And I was like,
no,
what?
But she's, look at all these nice parts. Well, that's how I kind of feel about, it's hard. It's hard. It's like, it's hard to defend that. Like, there's horrible behavior that I do in the film, but again, it's that thing, like, I worked with this amazing acting coach right before we started, where I just had phone calls with her. Her name's, mm-hmm. she's Jessie's acting coach, and, you know, Emma Stone's acting coach, and her name's C-Cat, and she, like, we just would have these conversations, and we basically were just, like, we came to the realization that he's just defending himself. Like, whenever, if he's ever talking about himself or being arrogant, it's like, who else is gonna talk about him but him? Like, if he's had this whole life where, like, no one is, like, all he's been wanting is, like, mom, look at this awesome thing I'm doing, mm-hmm. like, you should be proud of me, and she's not talking about it, and he's also doing well at it, it's like, well, who's gonna defend myself but me? Like, you know, and so in his head, he's just, like, you know, his own biggest fan because he feels like he has to be, but in reality, it's like, he doesn't, because, like, it should be enough that he's just doing it, that should be enough, that he's just showing up and doing it and going live and doing his job. That should just be enough to like power him through the day without going to school and being like, hey guys, look at me.
Right.
Especially with Lila too. I mean, Lila's just like another, basically it's the Oedipus kind of thing where he's kind of reliving. He's almost replaying his relationship with his mother. It's like a redo. He's like, okay, maybe I can get this girl's attention. She's very political. I can make her like me, love me. And then by the end of it, he totally screws it up.
He fails.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you found this through acting in this. This is like the performance in my head that I'll look back on and go like, okay, that was the first role that I did when I was like coming out of child acting and into adult acting.
Oh, totally. Yeah, totally.
You definitely feel that too, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think it was like also like the first like really like complex character that I ever got to play.
Yeah, totally. Me too.
And yeah, it's weird. Like, I think I was 18 when we filmed it. I turned 19 during production. And it was also like the first time like I fully like went somewhere on my own, because before, you know, you have your parents
with you.
And I was living on my own when we were filming season 4, but then for this it was like it was just starting fresh with new people and you're by yourself. And so I don't know, it was just like a real like learning experience.
Big change. Huge change.
And it was also so good that I was by myself for all of that, because I got like so lonely, and like I think I needed to have that, because like for this character it's like she's lonely, and also it just gave me nothing else to focus on. So I'd never really had an experience like that, where it's just most of the times that you're talking, you're in a scene, and that's the only time you're with other people. I just never had an experience like that. And by the end of it, I was just so sad to leave the character.
Yeah.
Did you feel the same way? I was so broken, because I was like, oh, like I'll never get to play her again.
I remember the last conversation I had with Jesse on set. It was like the last thing I filmed. And I was like talking to Jesse, and I was like, yeah, now I have a few months off before going back to work. He's like, that's amazing. What are you talking about? You have months, like you could go do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, totally. It's like in my head, I just was like, this is the only thing. It's like, this is what I want to do
for the rest
of
time.
Yeah. It's like, this is it. But then I don't know. It's really weird. I think also in the way that like I was pretty lonely as well. I mean, I had friends coming in and out, and like I was really lucky to have my best friend in the film, Billy Brick.
That's right. Oh, I wanted to talk to you about that.
Yeah. Who's just amazing in the film, and we were best friends before the movie, and so we got to kind of be next door neighbors, and so we got to just see each other all the time, and it was pretty incredible. So I was very lucky for that, and to have him, and my dad. My dad was there as well.
Where did you film?
In Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh,
so,
wow.
And then I was back again for
Stranger Things. You spent a lot of time there.
I did, yeah. It's crazy.
Wow.
Shout out to Albuquerque. but I don't know. I think like it, I was going to say, because of you couldn't really hang out with people, like it kind of allowed me to kind of just obsess over this one thing.
Yeah, no, like, totally.
And that kind of helped inform the character too, because he's kind of also obsessed about like one thing as well. I don't know. There's a lot of parallels. But you were saying before that you started acting. When did you start?
I started when I was, I guess, 8 in theater. So like my first role was Baby Angel Shirley.
Oh, of course, Baby Angel Shirley.
Baby Angel Shirley in The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. It was a community theater production. I had one line. It was, I can't find my wings.
That was good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So that was my debut.
That's
but
awesome.
I guess that wasn't really like a, I don't know. I guess my first like real, not that that wasn't a real role, but like my first, like the first time I just got to fully like mount to production.
Yeah.
Was like shortly after that. And I think I was still 8 and my mom
still
was, it was still 8 and my mom was taking Mitchell, my brother, to go audition for like this children's theater production of The Secret Garden, and you had to be 10 to audition.
Oh, cool.
And I was still 8, so I couldn't. And on the car ride there, I had somehow just decided on that car ride that if I did an audition for this, that the world as we knew it would cease to exist.
Yeah.
And so I was like, Mom, please let me audition. And she was like, no, Sadie, you're too young and you don't have a monologue. And I was like, no, Mom, I do have a monologue, because if you remember my time as Baby Angel Shirley.
Right, I don't have my wings.
Yep, I would spend like my off time watching the lead girl's performance, and she had this monologue that she would give. So I memorized that. And the whole car ride there, I was like proving to my mom, like, look, I memorized this. I have a monologue. And so then she was like, fine, Sadie, I will ask. And so she asked, and they let me audition, and I got Mary Lennox, which That's was amazing. Very exciting for me.
I thought that the thing would be that you're like, I have a monologue. And then you're like, I lost my wings.
I can't find my wings.
Yeah.
And they're like, you booked it.
Yeah, exactly.
You got
Congratulations.
It.
Congratulations. Yeah. You have the part. But that's pretty awesome.
That was like,
was that on Broadway?
Oh, God, no, 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 no. This was like
in New Jersey?
This was like a half an hour outside of Houston, Texas.
Oh, this was back when you lived in Texas.
Oh, yeah. This was Texas.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
This is the first thing I ever did, really. But then it's interesting because this little production of Secret Garden really just started everything.
You commanded this, yeah.
Sure, so whatever.
Yeah.
But I was eight. But there was a moment in it where I think I had to sing, and my mom was just like, oh, I think she can sing also. So then that's when, like, the musical theater thing happened. And then that's, you know.
So you weren't, like, a learned, like, you didn't go to singing lessons or anything? You
no, at that
it.
Point,
oh, that's amazing.
No. And then, but after that, we did, I did, me and my brother. And then I played Annie for, like, 10 years.
That's crazy.
It's really weird. I think about how this all started, and I just don't know really how it happened. Like,
yeah.
I really don't know.
Yeah.
It's so confusing, but.
Yeah, I remember being, like, thinking it was so awesome that we had, like the three of the main characters in Stranger Things were all, like, Broadway kids.
Yeah.
Like, because you had, like, met Gate and then Caleb, like, in passing, right?
Right. I mean, yeah, we knew each other because I was doing Annie, Caleb was doing Lion King, and Gate was doing,
Les Mis.
Yeah.
I know, that's so crazy.
So funny.
That's so funny. You guys are, like, old, like, character actors, like, hey, yeah. Good to see you. Like, just weird, yeah, thing. I remember when you got on set, it was such a cool, like, it was, we were all so excited because it was like, oh, another person. And then for you, it was probably like terrifying. It was probably,
oh,
like,
my God.
Felt like Lord of the Flies, probably.
Yeah, it was, I guess I was nervous, especially, I mean, Stranger Things was huge.
Yeah, it was like, that time, it was like,
oh, my God, it was like the
new big
yes.
thing. Yeah.
And I was, just so excited. I was so excited. And then I got there and I'm like, oh my God.
You're in like a weird trailer.
Yeah. And I'd done like a few little appearances on TV shows, but being in front of the camera was like still kind of new to me.
Semi-new. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I was very nervous.
You wouldn't know it.
Well, I was very nervous.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think as soon as I got there and like I was kind of touching on before, but like you guys are just so like, free and you were just having fun, and I think I just had to kind of shake that like idea of just having to be perfect.
Well, I think also I remember being like feeling like I don't wanting to, it's so weird being the new, like ever, like going to a new school, going to everything. Mm-hmm. So I remember just wanting to talk to you all the time because
yeah.
I just was like, oh, it's the new I, you know, whatever. And so I remember we, like, shared that little school trailer all the time.
Oh, my God, the school trailer.
Yeah. Dude, oh, my God.
They were so...
If we ever write a memoir...
I mean, like, just to, like,
trailer.
Paint a picture, if we would take a paper towel and, like, wipe it on the ground, and it would just be completely, like...
Black.
Black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had this school trailer that was, like, for whatever reason...
It was an old lifeguard stand. Remember?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For whatever reason, it was just this really old, like, basically, like, camper
yep.
thing that had, like, these, like, doors that were, like, they didn't work. The doors also were,
no.
like, were, like, this thin, and they were super light. Dude, yeah, so much of my life was spent in that trailer.
Trailer, oh, my God.
So many tears shed.
So many tears.
And laughs and goofs.
Lots of laughs. See, like, the thing about us is, like, we have seen each other at our absolute best.
And
the lowest of lows, like,
yeah.
like our absolute worst.
Definitely.
Oh, for sure.
The first thing that comes to mind in my head is not a drama-filled story, but it is a story of, I remember Gaten was, like, doing Lent, and he was like, you gotta give up something. And I was like, at that point, and I was very into candy, as you remember.
Yeah.
And donuts, and so I was just like, I'll give up candy. And everyone was like, no, you won't. And I was like, yes, I will. And I swear, like 40 minutes later, I caught myself eating, like while I was working, like eating Skittles. And Gaten walked in and was sort of like, he like fell on the floor, like rolling on the floor, laughing, like pointing at me, like, ah ha ha. Like, I was like, oh man, I suck. Like that was, I remember just being like, oh, this is so embarrassing.
Wow.
That was so fun. Cause I look back, it was like a lot of it was so crazy, but a lot of it was.
Oh my,
so
and I get so upset because I feel like I don't remember as much as I should. But I think when everything's moving so fast.
Yeah, yeah, you don't. I mean, there's so definitely hard stuff that I've blocked out.
Oh, for sure.
For any childhood, I feel like you block stuff out.
Yeah.
But not in the way of like it was traumatic. I just mean like that just like you block stuff out just because it's like, yeah, stuff is moving and you probably don't want to remember like cringy parts of your life.
Oh, yeah.
There's parts of my life that my God. Yeah.
I know.
I feel like, yeah, all of our like cringy, like all of my cringy phases.
You can look it up online.
Well, that's the thing. My friend, I remember I was looking with my friend Colin and he like refusing to show me pictures of him in high school. And I was like, dude, my entire puberty is like on camera. Like I grow up in front of a camera, like literally. And I was like, so you can't be you can't be self-conscious about that. Yeah, I guess we were pretty not self-conscious. I still have your hat, by the way.
What hat?
It's a pink Vineyard Vines hat. Do you remember that hat?
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, I still have your hat because I started wearing it.
You can keep it.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to wear much Vineyard Vines these days.
No, me neither.
I didn't realize it was like the kind of the frat brand then.
It is. So like the town that like my family somehow settled in New Jersey is like very, very preppy. And I was not preppy. And I remember going to school and everyone was wearing Vineyard Vines. So I was like, I need to get something Vineyard Vines.
I remember I was like, oh, cool, pink hat. And you're like, you can have it. And you just like toss it to me. And I was like, oh, sweet. And I was like, it has a whale on it? That's awesome. And then I like went home to Vancouver. And they're like, were you in a frat, dude? I was like, oh, this is from
I was
a frat?
Sabotaging you.
Yeah, I know.
I meant to do that.
Yeah, I was like walking around with a pink like dad snap, like walking around with like a pink hat. I remember, I remember also you. It was such an interesting like intro that you had too, where I remember it was like the first week was like you met everyone, we started doing fittings, you went to an Adele concert.
Oh my God.
With Millie.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? She was like, we're going to an Adele concert.
And I was like, I guess we're going to an Adele concert.
And you're like, like going to an Adele concert, like randomly you just met Millie and she's like, we're going to Adele. And you're like, okay.
It's like
terrifying, but okay. You're like this person I've never met before. And then it was great. But I feel like it's really nice that it's a very fun full circle moment that like we can start something when we're really young kids and then do something that we're older.
Yeah.
I do something like this. I mean like an A24 film. I feel like I don't know like what you've thought about like to me from what I've and I just saw Gaten a few nights ago and we were just having the same conversation of just like how different our relationship to acting is going to be as an adult than it was to a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like trying to, because as an adult, as a kid, you can kind of make your whole life acting and it's fine. And like, you can distract yourself, but then you realize like, oh, like maybe there's stuff I missed or whatever, or like developmental stuff or like.
Well, yeah, I think about that all the time. Cause it's like, I feel like we had to kind of mature at an accelerated rate.
Right, yeah.
But because of that, I'm always like, hang on, I think I missed a few steps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
me
I think
too.
There's some lessons I need to learn or some experiences I need to have or something.
Well, there's two. It's funny. You kind of have to juggle two things. It's like you have to show up and do this job pretty well as a kid. And these are amazing opportunities. But at the same time, like, you have to grow up, like, correctly at the same time. Mm-hmm. That's, like, a hard thing to do. So, I mean, like, yeah, going forward as an actor, like, I don't know if you thought about just like, it's interesting seeing people kind of dismount into an adult career from being a child actor and it going south or going whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've been lucky to just be like very self-aware and like having conversations about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And like, we've also like had pretty great like families and like
for sure
childhoods and like very supportive people around us. So we're the lucky ones, but yeah, more and more I just think like, okay, like how am I going to have a healthy relationship with my career and at the same time be a fulfilled person outside of that? Because again, it's like you have acting and also like that's why in like tabloid shit, you see so many like actors go
yeah
crazy because it's just like they didn't have any they don't like have, they don't even have conversations like this. It's just like they hide behind acting because it's like the easiest
yeah,
thing or the easiest
or like
lifestyle or whatever.
I feel like it's easy to put more effort into the version of yourself that like you're presenting to the world.
Right. When it should be the
than
opposite.
Than you are in yourself.
It
in
should
your
be the
actual
opposite.
Self.
Yeah.
So I don't know. For me, that was, I think I've been like subconsciously doing this and you as well, but like, it's just like, there's only so much that you want to give away. Like you just have to have stuff
for you.
Yourself. And like, also what's really important is like when it's times like these where it's like lots of press and cool outfits and you're traveling everywhere and it's all, you know, so glamorous, but it's like that's not your real life.
No,
and
exactly.
That's certainly not what matters. And on your off time, when you're not working on a project, when you're not doing press for anything, when you're just Finn, you're just Sadie, just keep it really boring.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
no,
keep
actually,
it so boring.
Totally. That's exactly what it is. It's like you have. That's why I like going back to Vancouver, because I just feel, not that it's like a boring place, but it just is like, you just go back and you're there, and then you go there enough to get stir crazy, kind of, and then you go back,
and like, then you go just, back to work and like. But actual work,
no,
like
yeah, knowing that it's
something.
Work, yeah, no, it's actual work and it's fulfilling and like, yeah, having a good life, it's yeah, like you said before, it's like it kind of should be the opposite thing where you're like, you're almost, it's almost just as much work too to like have a rich, fun, like fulfilling inner life or whatever, yeah. And it's funny to be like talking about that, but it is true, it's like it's important, and I think it also probably will make our jobs even more fulfilling knowing that like. We know that it's
fun,
yeah. and also that like we'd be fun without it too,
right?
You know, but knowing that like there's nothing really else, probably that would make us happier than acting.
No, yeah.
So you know,
I think we're done.
Yeah. So go see our movies.
Yeah. Go see The Whale. Go
see When If You're Saving the World.
Yep.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Thanks
for watching and listening.
Thank you, Finn.
Thank you, Sadie.
Thanks for listening. The A24 podcast is produced by us, A24. Special thanks to our editor, Tom Wyatt, and Robot Repair, who composed our theme.